And so we got to Puebla, which was about 80 miles. That's all the further he would go the first day, because he was interested in getting plants. Then we went, maybe 40, 50 miles further the next day. I was only interested in Cabeza de Negro, and which he said he could get for me. Well, we stayed a couple of days there, and I found out that this botanist, the woman, we were staying in a hotel at, just what was the name of it? I forget the name of the town. That's my mind gets so bad when I try to review something because of my age that I just forget. Anyway, it'll come to me in a few minutes. Well, anyway, we got to this town, and he was he collected quite a number of things that he would be interested in that were of no interest at all to me. So about Thursday or Friday, he came to me, and he told me that some of the people out there found out that you weren't American, and that they were against Americans, that I can't go any further with you. We have to go back to Mexico. We have to give up getting the plant. So we went back to Mexico. We had a little trouble with the truck going back, and so it took an extra day to get back. Tehuacan is the name of the town. So I went to the embassy, and the embassy told me, that was on a Monday, embassy told me that they couldn't do anything for me to get out of Mexico, to take the next train out of Mexico. Well, this fellow came around to the embassy. I wasn't there at the time. He came around and tried to blame his not completing the trip. He tried to blame it on me because of the fact that they had found out that I was an American, and it wasn't advisable to take Americans down in those days. Well, instead of taking the train back, I found out from the hotel where the bus was. They went to the station for the bus. That went to the vicinity where this route was. I took the bus, and I had to change in Puebla. I took the bus in the night. Instead of taking the train, I took the bus, and I went to Puebla in the night. And I had to change there, and we got onto an old, run-down bus that had pigs in the bottom. And the woman beside me had some chickens. I got to Orizaba about daylight. Mm-hmm. I checked into a hotel there, and I found out where there was a bus going to Cordoba. Orizaba was known for Orizaba is a big bottling place for beer. Mm-hmm. They make a very good beer there. So. We got to I was on the bus. I had to stand up on this bus. It was one of these standing buses for local, just hauling workers back and forth between the two towns there, which were about, say, 15 miles apart. We came to a stream of water. And I asked the driver to get off. He didn't know what I wanted, but he suspected that I wanted to get off there. So I get off there, and there was a little store there. I went to the little store, and I finally got him to understand, got the fellow that kept the store. His name was Alberto Moreno. I got him to understand that I wanted some Cabeza de Negro. I kept saying Cabeza de Negro because that means Negro head, and looks like a kicky head of a Negro. Well, that is from the distance, because about one third of it grows out of the ground, the round part of it, and you can get some that are not deformed by tree trunks or things like that, that looked like the perfect head of a Negro sticking out of the ground. Well, he told me to come back the next day. At least that's what I thought I understood. So I went back to my hotel. He wouldn't know where I was staying. And all I could mention was Orizaba. I went back to, it was a little hotel, and I found out that there was a very good luxury hotel only about 2 miles away from where Alberto Moreno had his little store. And Alberto Moreno had a coffee drying place across the road from that. He dried coffee in the coffee collecting season, which I used quite a bit later on. So I went back the next day, and this local bus where we had to stand up on had quite a crowd on. He put them in bags and put them up on top of the bus, and we got to Orizaba, and they, by the time I got off of the bus, they had both disappeared. So a policeman came up to me and started speaking in Spanish. I didn't know any Spanish in those days. I know a little now, but I don't go hungry when I go down to the tropics or anything like that. But I understood that he wanted some money to give it back. All I had was I had a $10 note in my pocket, and I handed that to him, and he took that. And he gave me one, and I understood that he could get me out of no more money. I told him, so I got the one, and I took it back to Mexico City, and I brought it back to Penn State, and I did my work on that, on half of it. I did the work all personally. I found out that would be a source of material for Sapperman, and I took the other part out to Park Davis, and I had three of my workers had been working for Park Davis. I wanted to show them the entire process, how to make progesterone from the material that we would get out, and also show them how to get the material out of this.
So this raises one question I had, which was, how were you? Where did all the money come from? Well, we traveled around the Southwest, and
we didn't. I just had to. Park Davis, the most money that Park Davis ever put here was $10,000, and I had to pay my graduate students. They got small fellowships, something like $800 or something like that. I had to pay some of those, and. My chemicals, glassware, and things like that. I had to get out. And Whitmore would come to me. He said, "Do you need some more money?" Then I would chisel some out of him.
when did the relationship with Park Davis start? About a year
after that.
How did that develop?
Cam and I became very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Cam was the director of research of Park Davis,
yeah.
And Cam would come here several times a year,
mm-hmm.
And he would stay for a few days here and to see what I was doing and things like that. But anything that I would want when I was out there, he would give me.
That
he didn't have to spend. But after I showed the process to my fellows, Cam and I went to the president, who was left here at that time. He was a medical doctor. And we wanted to set up in Mexico. Park Davis had just established a new packaging place in Mexico City. And I had been out to that. I knew what they had in Mexico. They had a lot of land, and the buildings were sufficient to see whether it could go into production. And all that I asked for $10,000 to put Park Davis into production in Mexico. And Lasker here said that nothing could be done in Mexico. He knew that because of the fact that he was taken off of a boat at Acapulco with appendicitis, and he was put in a hospital there, and he got such rough treatment they thought he was going to die. And he said that they would not give anything. He said, it's just a waste of money. Besides, you have established for us the production of progesterone from bull's urine. You've established it from the pregnenolone, which we get out of pregnancy urines here. And that is enough for us. He said, we'll run a stable of bulls in here, just like we have a stable of horses. He said, we'll get 1,000 if necessary, 1,000 bulls if necessary, and just collect the urine. But he said, there's no use thinking of going to Mexico. He said, it can't be done in the first place. Well, after I went to Mexico, I told Lester here, I'll have to look to someone that would be interested in going to Mexico if Park Davis is not interested in. So I went to several pharmaceuticals. I went to Merck, and I went to Ciba, and I went to what is this? Merck and Ciba. Sharing Plow.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them were interested in it. Because they thought that nothing could be done in Mexico. See, Mexico, there was no equipment, no glassware. There was some of this German glass in, but you didn't know if you heated something up in it, you didn't know whether it was going to break or not.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they had some 5-gallon Pyrex bottles that they had for other purposes. So I got all of those that I could. And we distilled out of those Pyrex bottles because I could trust those. There was no chemistry. See, they didn't have a chemical society until, I think it was 1954 or somewhere around there, that they even established a chemical society in Mexico.
So you, when Park Davis turned you down, the other company turned you down, you went back down to Mexico?
I went to Mexico. And I was wondering how I could make contact. I went to the head of Salubridad. Salubridad is a health place of Mexico. They're tied in with the government. And the only answer that I could get, what was his name? Anyway, I forget what his name was. Anyway, finally, after talking to him quite a bit and going out to some of his party, he was running for some political thing, and he would take it with some girls that spoke English and some things like that. I don't know what it was all about, but anyway. I thought I'd made arrangements with him until he finally told me that you produce it at your expense and I'll sell it for you. So that was all that I could get out of Mexico. I was in the Hotel Geneve and I was looking in their telephone book under laboratorios. And there was a Laboratorios Hormona. I thought, gosh, they must use hormones. They had the name of Hormona. So I went out to see them. And there was a man that was in charge of the production there, was Dr. Lehman. His son became a chemist later on. His son was just a little boy, maybe 8 years old, when I first went to Mexico. Lehman, I talked to Lehman, and Lehman said, what is your name? So I told him again what my name was. He said, excuse me a little. He went back, and he came back with a Journal of the American Chemical Society. He said, I thought I recognized your name. And I told him that the product that I was interested in working on looked like potato chips. That it would be chopped up from a product that grew in the tropics and sun-dried. And then that would be ground up and extracted with alcohol. He said, it sounds very interesting, but the man that owns the homeowner is in New York at the present time. He asked me whether I could stay over a day or so. So I told him, yes, I could stay over if there was some possibility of getting the funds for this. That was Sanlo. Mm-hmm. Lehman and Sanlo and I had a talk the next night. Well, Sanlo, I had some of these chips with me that I had brought back from Marino. He was drying some for me. And Sanlo said that he would be very interested. He said that only hormones that they were modeling were they had bought some crude stuff from Germany, and they were putting it up in ampoules at that time, but only in minute amounts. But he said that he would be very interested in establishing something. So we worked out that we would form a new company. And that I would eventually, if I could get the products to go into production, I would eventually come to Mexico to produce. So I went to Mexico several times during that year, and I went out to see Lehman. And I told Lehman that during the year, I wanted to be sure that I could produce this. And during the year, I had worked up around 10 tons of root with Moreno, and I sun-dried it, and we got out roughly two tons of root, which he brought up to Mexico, and I made arrangements for extraction here in Mexico with alcohol. I could never find that the place that I had that extracted. I don't know whether it was torn down or not. I have some pictures at home of the place, but it wasn't so far from Guadalupe. I knew a fellow in New York City that I had become very friendly with. He was selling some hormones, and he had gotten into trouble with SEBA over a patent. And I went, it was the only time that I ever went for patent purposes, that is in court. I went to Washington to try to tell them in court that this man should have the patent and didn't belong to SEBA. Well, that's how I became acquainted with him. So I asked him whether he had a laboratory. He told me he had a laboratory at that time, and I stayed about. I think it was one night that I stayed in Washington. I asked him then after we were through whether he would be interested in my producing some progesterone from some material that I would get from Mexico. I told him that I would give him one third of the material. And he just jumped at it. He said, do you know how much this progesterone is selling for now? At that time, it was roughly $1,000 a gram because there was no progesterone available. And He wanted to know how much I thought I would get out. I told him I thought I'd get maybe 3 kilos, or I'd get him a kilo if he would let me work in his laboratory and furnish the material that I would need. I'd need acetic anhydride and some other things like that. He said, "Oh yes, come in." So I worked there, and I got the 2 kilos, a little bit over 2 kilos that I had for myself. So I went to lay, when I was right ready to come out, to go back to the States, I went out to Hormona to see whether they had, what the status was on the equipment that Lehman was getting for me. Well, it ended up by me telling Lehman that I had produced, had in my hands in the States here, 2 kilos of, a little over 2 kilos of progesterone. Well, Samu was out of town at that time. So Lehman told Samu when he came back that I had a couple kilos of progesterone, which was an unheard of amount of progesterone at that time. I came back to Penn State. Fortunately, I was able to get on a plane. Sometimes I could get on a plane, other times I had to take the train, because they had just these little planes at that time, and sometimes there'd be all embassy people taking the plane, and then even though you were reserved, you were kicked off and you had to take the train back. But fortunately, I got the plane back to Washington and came back on the train from Washington. Well, after I got here, Samuel wanted to know whether I still had that 2 kilos of progesterone, whether I could meet him in New York. So I met him in New York. We went to he took me to the Waldorf Astoria for dinner and all that kind of crap to butter me up. He wanted to know whether we could work out something that that Hormona could sell this product. Well, we worked out the possibility that we had agreed to establish a new company to produce hormones in Mexico, and the company was going to be set up for 500,000 pesos. The peso at that time was the value of the peso was around 21 cents at that time. My share of that would have been around $41,000, because I was to get 40% of this new company that was to be set up. He said, "All right, you give me the progesterone." He said that he had an office in New York, and the man that was running the office was named Huben. He wanted to know where the progesterone was. I told him that it wasn't in New York. He said, "Can you bring it back to New York and give it to Huben?" Well, I gave it to a friend of mine to deliver to Huben. And the arrangement was that my share of this new company, which was going to be established, which was going to be Syntex, would be paid for in full out of the funds that we would get for that. He said that he would establish a price of $80 a gram, because we didn't know what to establish it for. $80 a gram, which would have been $160,000 for the 2 kilos. And he said that we made the arrangement then that my share of this new company would be paid for in full, and any remainder would be turned over as profit for this company. The remainder of the money would be sold as profit for this company. The rest of the $160,000 would go as profit, and it would be split. He would get 52%, Lehman would get 8%, and I would get 40%. Never got it. That was the end of it. After a year and 4 months, he kept telling me that there's no prophet, when we get prophets, when we're spirits, and things like that. And I kept asking him for the money, for the accounting with this new company which we set up as Syntex. And he kept putting me off and things like that. And so I decided to set up my own company and leave Syntex, because I decided I wasn't going to get anything. But he gave me enough money to live on and to send back to my wife. My wife had come back to State College, and she was living and educating my two sons, because we decided that Mexico wasn't a place at that time to educate our sons, because she was in Mexico the summer before. And we sent the younger son to school down there, but he just considered it a big joke, because they went to school in the summertime, and he thought that should be his vacation. He was, I think, 8 years old then.
Well, you were living there for 16 months by yourself while they were back in?
I would come back occasionally.
Did you ever bring a lawyer in, or try to adjudicate this?
Yes, I had a lawyer. You see, I set up a company called Botanical Mexicans at Texcoco, and I needed a lawyer. I got a French lawyer who the American Embassy recommended that I get. He spoke English perfectly and everything like that. And he set up the company of Botanical Mexicans. And he met with Samo and with Samo's lawyer several times. He had a meeting with Samo once, which is unusual for a lawyer to meet with a man that on the other side. Samo told him what he would settle for. Samo told him that he would settle for. I had a paper from Samo that was written that that I was to have 40% of the new company that was to be set up. And I kept that in a safety deposit box in a bank in Mexico. Well, Samuel told it, I had been having quite a bit of trouble. The man that was collecting Barbasco for me, I went down with him. He was having a lot of trouble collecting. We went someplace, and he said that, he pointed out, we went to a small village. And he pointed out a man. He said, "That's the man that's been giving me the trouble." My man was killed that night.
Hmm.
He died in Orizaba.
My goodness.